What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, this has got to be one of the most insane NBA off seasons we have had in quite some time, because multiple star players have been traded, and it's just crazy. You know, I kind of feel like every show I have had an update on a new blockbuster trade. These aren't just like little bullshit trades here and there. These are like legit superstars getting traded all around the league. So, basically, as soon as I finished recording Monday's show, Kawhi Leonard was traded from the Clippers back to the Toronto Raptors. You know, he won a championship up with the Raptors. He was only a Raptor for a year or half a year. I think he got traded He got traded midway through the season. So he wasn't even there for an entire year, but he did win a championship with them. And of course, you know, nothing has worked out with the Clippers because nothing ever works out with the Clippers. I think that's a good move for the Raptors because he already has won them a championship. The thing about Kawhi, though, you just never know what you're going to get with him because he's just injury prone. But I think this is a good move for the Raptors. Then after that, my Lakers actually ended up trading for center Walker Kessler from the Utah Jazz, which I'm excited about just because we needed a center. That was like the number one priority besides getting Austin Reeves re-signed, in my personal opinion, as a Lakers fan. Because the center position was just very weak this year. And Kessler's actually a very dominating center. You don't hear about him a lot because he's been with the Utah Jazz. But I just kind of feel like this is going to be a good fit for the Lakers. And then the big one. And to me, this makes no sense. I've actually never even understood what the problem is here. But the Boston Celtics traded away Jaylen Brown to the Philadelphia 76ers nonetheless. For Paul George, this is like Paul George's 25th team that has traded him away. And they've gotten something good in return. And because, you know, I think this is a great move for the 76ers. They've got Maxey, they've got Embiid, and now they've got Jaylen Brown. And my thing with this trade that I'm confused about is, what the fuck did Jaylen Brown do to the Boston Celtics? I have never understood. I can tell for the last, I want to say it's been 2-3 years, it feels like, that he's been going back and forth, maybe with the front office or something. I don't know. But especially this year, they continuously were talking about trading away Jaylen Brown. And I'm just like, what? This guy is an MVP caliber player. He had literally the greatest season of his career so far was this year. And he really kept that Boston Celtics team in contention. He won a championship with them, and he's just been insanely consistent. So I don't know what it is with Jaylen Brown that the Celtics did not like him, because this has been coming, but I didn't know that it was. I kind of felt like they were just going to hang on to him, because why the hell would you get rid of Jaylen Brown? He is a damn good player. So, you know, good for the 76ers. They are getting a damn good player, and I kind of feel like he's going to fit right in with Maxey and right in with Embiid, and maybe look out for the 76ers to be a legit squad next year. Who knows? But that's what's happened so far. A bunch of other trades happened as well, but to me, those were the three key trades. I wouldn't be shocked if I'm done recording this episode and then another crazy trade happens, because it has been one hell of an NBA offseason, and it basically just began. I mean, we just had the draft, a week and a half ago? And the NBA finals were just 3 weeks ago. So it is just nuts. And we've had Giannis traded. We've had Kawhi traded. Jaylen Brown. Like, this is a LaMelo. You know, this is just a crazy offseason so far. And so looking forward to seeing what we have going on the rest of this offseason. But those were three big time trades that happened throughout the week. So let's get into baseball, and we had quite a few crazy performances this week. So let's begin on Monday between the Chicago Cubs and the San Diego Padres. The Cubs got the win 3-2. Seiya Suzuki had the game-winning single in this one. It was tied headed into the ninth inning, but Suzuki was able to knock it in, and Shota Imanaga pitched a gem, pretty much 6.1 innings pitched with 4 strikeouts in that one. Then also on Monday, the Milwaukee Brewers took down the Cincinnati Reds 5-3. Ortiz had the go-ahead home run in this one. And Ashby, he is their relief pitcher, and he got his 11th win on the season. And this is a relief pitcher, so that's pretty crazy. But he's been very consistent. Every time he comes out on the plate, you pretty much cannot get a hit off of that dude. Then also on Monday, the Dodgers continued to dominate as they usually do. They got the win over the A's 9-4. But this game, we're going to call it the Max Muncy game. Why is that? Because the Dodgers have a player named Max Muncy, and the A's have a player named Max Muncy, and they are not related. And they were both shocking. You know, I think their age difference is about 10 years apart. So how crazy is that? But both of them were drafted by the A's. It's just Muncy ended up, the first Max Muncy ended up with the Dodgers. And the second one, he is still with the A's right now. So we're going to call this the Max Muncy game. And actually, the Dodgers' Max Muncy had the game-tying home run in this one with two RBI. And the A's Muncy, he only had one run in this one. So it went to, of course, the Dodgers' Muncy. But it must have been pretty confusing to continuously say Max Muncy every time these guys came up to bat. Then on Tuesday, the Chicago White Sox got a win over the Baltimore Orioles 9-3. Montgomery hit the go-ahead home run. It was actually a 7-run third inning from the Chicago White Sox, but Montgomery got it started. And I continue to tell you about this rookie Montgomery. Like, he is just killing it this year. Kind of feels like he's not only making big plays, but I mean, a go-ahead home run, that's like the start of everything. I mean, he's a rookie, and he's showing up in the big moments where you know, rookies don't usually show up. So Montgomery has just been adding to his stellar season. Then also on Tuesday, the Detroit Tigers smashed the Yankees 9-3. This was supposed to be a pitching duel between Skubal and Schlittler, but Schlittler got blown up from the jump, whereas Skubal went 6 innings, 9 strikeouts. Riley Green had 2 home runs and 3 RBI. Torkelson had a home run and 2 RBI. It just kind of felt like Schlittler was giving home runs to up to everybody against the Tigers in this one. Then the Washington Nationals took down the New York Mets on Tuesday, 8-1. This was just a dominating performance by the Washington Nationals. Savali went 7 innings pitched with 13 strikeouts in this one, and their catcher, Keibert Ruiz, went 2 for 3 with 3 RBI. Then also on Wednesday, the Miami Marlins basically closed out the month as the best team for the month of June. They got the win over the Colorado Rockies 14-3, but this was the Miami Marlins' 20th win for the month of June. Yeah, the 20th. They were the best team for the month of June. Who would have thought? The Miami Marlins. But they are playing great baseball right now. Sanoja had a home run and 3 RBI. Konine went 4 for 5 with 2 RBI. And this Miami Marlins team, they are getting it done in so many different ways with the pitching. With the starting pitching, with the relief pitching, with the defense, with the offense. It's not just one guy on the offensive side of the ball. That's why I highlighted Sanoja and Konine, because it's not, those guys really haven't shown up a lot, but in this one they did. And it just kind of feels like that's what's going on with the Marlins right now, is that there's a new guy showing up every game and making the big play. And the Miami Marlins were the hottest team in the month of June. We'll see if they can continue it on through the rest of the season. I mean, we're coming up here on the second half of the season because the All-Star break is next week. So we'll see what happens here. But the Miami Marlins just put on a show for the month of June. Then the Dodgers on Tuesday night took down the A's yet again, 9-3. The big deal in this one, though, is Dave Roberts, the manager, got his 1,000th career win. He is the quickest, the manager who got to 1,000 wins the quickest amount of time. And that's really no shock, because, I mean, the Dodgers have been very good since he's taken over. I mean, 1,000 wins ain't nothing to scoff at. And then, of course, another guy is stepping it up for the Dodgers. They just got Tommy Edman back from injury about 2-3 weeks ago, and he is on fire. He went 4 for 5 in this one with a home run and 4 RBI, and then Robleski went 7 innings pitched with 11 strikeouts in this one in an absolutely dominating win by the Dodgers. And then also on Tuesday, the Chicago Cubs got a win over the San Diego Padres 9-7. Dansby Swanson is just continuing his reign of terror. I mean, he has just been on fire. He had 2 home runs and 3 RBI in this one. PCA had a home run, and then Alex Bregman also had a home run with 3 RBI. He has had a very up and down season with the Cubs, but when he is on, he is on, and that's a great gain from him. Then on Wednesday, the Cubs continued to dominate the Padres. This time they got the win 23-3. Yeah, that's like a football score right there. The Cubs had 8 total home runs in this one. Dansby Swanson, you know, the game before he had 2 home runs. Well, this time he was like, nah, I'm going to have 3 home runs in this one with 8 RBI in this one game. So that is 5 home runs that Dansby Swanson had off of the San Diego Padres. And then he had 12 RBI. How insane is that? I mean, this guy is just on a tear right now. And Michael Conforto, he's been having a solid year for the Cubs. He had 2 home runs and 4 RBI. And then Suzuki also had a home run and 3 RBI. Then on Wednesday, the Philadelphia Phillies got a win over the Pittsburgh Pirates 10-6. Trey Turner has had kind of a quiet season for Trey Turner, but he went off in this one. He had a home run and 3 RBI. And then Brandon Marsh continued his dominance behind the plate with another home run himself. Then the Tampa Bay Rays on Wednesday got a win over the Kansas City Royals 4-0. Junior Caminero, he's another dude who is on fire right now. He actually had his 6th home run in 6 games. He had a home run for 2 RBI, and then Shane McClanahan had an amazing game as well. 6 innings pitched with 4 strikeouts. And also on Wednesday, the Milwaukee Brewers took down the Cincinnati Reds 4-2. Mitchell went 4-for-4 with an RBI, and Drohan pitched 5.2 innings pitched with 7 strikeouts on that one. And on Thursday, the Cincinnati Reds actually got back at the Brewers in this one 7-2. As a matter of fact, they just took out Mizorowski. You know, he's dominated in pretty much every start he's had this year, but he was bound to have a bad one, and this was a bad one. The Reds just took over in this one. Trevino had a home run and 3 RBI. Friedel had a home run and 2 RBI. And the Reds just needed this win, and they got a nice solid win over Mizorowski and the Milwaukee Brewers. Then the Cleveland Guardians had a win over the Chicago White Sox to take the division lead nonetheless. They got a win 6-5, and Rocchio walked it off with a solid home run. I mean, It was close, and then it bounced off the foul pole, and boom, there it went. Home run for Brian Rocchio to, this is a crazy battle right now between the Guardians and the White Sox for their division. And then, of course, you have the Twins. The Twins are just are hovering as well. So it's been a crazy division battle, but it's been a division battle nonetheless, and the Guardians got the better of the White Sox. I mean, as a matter of fact, not just this series, but this season between the Guardians and the White Sox, I don't remember how many games it is, but the majority of their games have been one-run games. So that's just how close not only this division is between those two teams, but when they play each other, it's going to be a battle to see who ends up with this division. It's probably going to come down to like the last week of the season between the Guardians and the White Sox. Then also on Thursday, the St. Louis Cardinals got the win over the Atlanta Braves 11-5. They had a 7-run 7th inning against the Braves. Jordan Walker, you know, it's been about a month, a couple weeks for sure since he's had a home run. You know, he's had a very solid season, but he finally was able to get a home run and 4 RBI in this crazy win. And he was basically what set it off in that 7th inning. And then to round out Thursday, the most dominating team right now in the American League is the Tampa Bay Rays. They got their 8th win in a row yesterday over the Kansas City Royals, 5-2. Seymour went 6 innings pitched with 8 strikeouts, and Mullins had a home run and 2 RBI. All right, so since it is 4th of July weekend, I decided this week's Trop 5 is going to be the Trop 5 Most Explosive Tempers. Because in baseball, we saw it this week, as a matter of fact, between the Nationals and the Mets, they kind of got into it. I believe it was the Nationals and the Mets. I know it was the Nationals and somebody, but I'm pretty sure it was the Nationals and the Mets. They got into it a little bit this week, and they had one of their fake blow-ups, because in today's baseball, it's mostly fake. You know, they run out and go, oh yeah, we're going to run out here and beat each other up. And then almost nothing ever happens. But most certainly back in the day, there were a lot of explosive tempers. There still are explosive tempers in baseball, but not like these five especially. And so I decided that, you know, like I said, it's the 4th of July. People are going to be blowing off fireworks, myself included. So I went with the top five most explosive tempers. And we're sticking to baseball because if I had done all sports, that would have been very difficult to whittle down. Plus, it's baseball season and 4th of July. Baseball's always going on the 4th of July. So we are sticking to baseball. And it's kind of funny because three of the five of these guys are managers. So let's get right into it with number five on my top five most explosive tempers. Lou Piniella. He was a manager for the New York Yankees, the Cincinnati Reds, the Seattle Mariners, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Chicago Cubs from 1986 to 2010. And if you know Lou Piniella, that was what he did. If he got pissed off, he was calling out. He was yelling at the umpires. He's been in arguments with his own players. He's had issues with the media in the past. And then, of course, his most infamous moment is the time he got so pissed off at the umpires in a game. I believe this was when he was with the Rays. I could be wrong. It might be when he was with the Cubs. But I'm pretty sure it was when he was with the Rays. And he ran out there. He's yelling at the umps. He's kicking dirt at the umps. And then he actually picks up first base and throws it into the outfield. So obviously had to put Lou Piniella on here because he is also one of the most ejected managers of all time. So obviously one of the biggest, most explosive tempers in baseball all time has to go to Lou Piniella. Then at number four in my top five most explosive tempers, this is a guy who actually got into an argument with Lou Piniella in the dugout when he was a player for him. Carlos Zambrano. He was a pitcher for the Chicago Cubs from 2001 to 2011, and he would fight with anybody. He would fight and argue with the umps. He would fight and argue with opposing players, and he would fight and argue with his own teammates. And like I just said, there is an infamous moment between him and Lou Piniella where they get into it, and it ain't like some little bullshit argument. Like, these two were at it with each other. And Zambrano, I kind of feel like that's part of the reason why his career, I mean, a 10-year career, that's not like the worst thing in the world, but I kind of feel like he probably could have gone on to do more. I feel like he probably wasn't a dude who people who wanted to deal with his temper, because he was always yelling at somebody, and he would get into physical altercations with even his own teammates. So that tends to be a problem at some point. Then at number three on my top five most explosive tempers, Bobby Cox, manager of the Atlanta Braves and the Toronto Blue Jays from 1978 to 2010. Obviously, I had to put Bobby Cox on here because he actually has the most ejections for a manager all time with 160 ejections. Piniella, I believe, is only a couple or tied with him. I know they're very, very close. But Bobby Cox, I had to put him above Piniella. He's basically the same as Piniella, the both of them. They were always in somebody's face. They always stood up for their players, and they would even go up against their own players if they had to. And of course, since you have the most record amount of ejections, I got to put you on this list because you have some type of explosive temper at some point in your career. And that's Bobby Cox, man. He would come out there and practically get ejected in almost every game, it kind of felt like. Then at number two on my top five most explosive tempers, Ty Cobb. Yeah, he was on one of my top five lists a few weeks ago with the top five hitters. Well, he also had an explosive temper. He was a center fielder with the Detroit Tigers from 1905 to 1928. The thing about Ty Cobb, he was most known for when he would come running at you, spikes out. Now, that is, of course, illegal in today's day and age in baseball. But not when Ty Cobb was doing it, and even when it started to become illegal, he still really didn't give a fuck. He was a badass motherfucker, but, you know, spikes out was his big thing. He would fight opposing teammates. He would yell at opposing managers. He even is notoriously known for getting in an argument with the groundskeeper before one of the games and actually assaulting the groundskeeper's wife. And then he's also notoriously ran into the stands and fought a fan as well. So that kind of seems to be the thing in Detroit, because if you remember, Ron Artest ran into the stands in Detroit as well when he was with the Indiana Pacers. So that kind of seems to be a thing where fans get attacked in Detroit. Now, it was a much different time when Ty Cobb did it. Ty Cobb, he was known for being a fantastic, amazing baseball player, but he was also known for being a big fucking asshole. And Spikes Out definitely got to put you on this list. But number one was actually very easy once I started to actually break it down. Because like at first I was like, really? Cause I was looking over a few other lists that people had of like explosive tempers in baseball. And then when I looked at it, this guy actually has like a paragraph of people he has actually fought throughout his playing and managerial career. And that is Billy Martin, manager with the Minnesota Twins, the Detroit Tigers, the Texas Rangers, the New York Yankees, and the Oakland A's from 1969 to 1988. Now, the thing about Billy Martin is he had a couple of short stints as a manager, and the reason why is because he actually was, like, fighting his own players, and he was fighting his own, like, GMs, and he's fighting with the media and saying fucked up shit, and he was a total drunk. And he was just always, always arguing, fighting everywhere he went. He was actually fired from the Minnesota Twins because he fought one of his own players. He was fired from Detroit because he publicly admitted to telling his pitchers to hitting batters. He publicly did that. As a matter of fact, I believe when he was a player, he attacked somebody with his bat. I believe he attacked an umpire, maybe some players as well with his bat. He famously fought Reggie Jackson when he was with the Yankees. And he's also had just numerous public battles with front offices. He's just been in fights and arguments and physical altercations with everybody from the media to the GMs, to the rest of the front office, to other coaches, other managers, other players, and then, of course, his own players. And like I said, he has an actual paragraph. I almost wrote down everybody he's been in a fight with, like a physical fight. Not just in your face fight, physical altercations this dude has been in as a player and a manager. But I just was like, that's way too long of a fucking list for me to even consider writing down. So yeah, Billy Martin was number one with a motherfucking bullet. I wasn't even really considering him. I had Lou Piniella and Bobby Cox kind of in mind, Ty Cobb as well. But then when I started to do the research, I was like, because I was almost going to put Cobb one. And then I looked at Billy Martin and I'm like, oh, yo, you got a whole paragraph of people you fought with? Nah, you are number one with a bullet. So Billy Martin, number one explosive temper in all of baseball. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.